It's Comedy at the Carlson Cast
with your very rotund host, Vinny Paulino.
And we do mean very.
Your currently melting co-host, Brian Ball.
Also accurate.
And your shockingly Spider-Man-like Nick Levasseur.
He's shooting webs all over the place. It's vile.
Ew. And today we've got Robert Powell III.
Hey now.
Let's send it over to the studio with your host, Vinny Paulino.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I am your very rotund host, Vinny Paulino. We got a good show lined up for you today. Unfortunately, my co-host is here, Brian Ball.
Yay! Boo! Hiss!
What did I do?
Boo!
What did I do to deserve that?
Huh?
What did I do to deserve that?
You woke up today.
Yeah, barely.
I wouldn't, Nick. And I'm also with Brian. Both statements are true. It is because you woke up today, and also you are barely awake.
I'm barely awake.
Yeah, me too. It's
well,
okay.
I always feel like Brian, his general energy level versus half awake, it makes it very hard to tell when he's sleepy.
It's a slim margin. It really is. Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. You suck at having energy.
It's a matter of a few percentage points.
Thanks for tuning in this morning. Those of you who are listening to us as a podcast, you rule. Thank you. You might be listening to us on Laughable, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher.
String on attached to a can.
A conch.
At Ooh. CarlsonCast.com. Either way.
CarlsonCast.conk.
We're the worst show in the world, but we're also the best because today our guest is Robert Powell III. We're very excited about that. Some of you are watching us live right now on Facebook Live or YouTube Live. Thank you for tuning in. We also want to remind you that because you are watching live, the text line is open, 585-484-0265. Feel free to text your questions in for Robert Powell III. And please, stop asking Brian and I to kiss. It's not going to happen.
I really support this. I think it should, you know. Just give the people what they want, Benny.
I know it's you.
No, it's not.
It's you.
It's Nick's personal text line. So if you want to get a hold of Nick,
yes.
that's just his phone number.
Yeah.
That's correct.
That's his Cricket Wireless.
Call me in the middle of the night. Let's see what's up.
He's a Metro PC kind of kid. Folks, big stuff going on today. We're going to debut our new segment, the stand-up news.
Yeah,
cool.
Comedy at the Carlson Cast news segment with our pal Ross Johnson is going to be in just a minute or two. But before we do that, I have to say we are very excited because we got all of our proposals in for Showmageddon.
Oh,
hey,
nice.
Now.
And I spent the afternoon the other day reading all of them. And there are going to be some very interesting things happening here yet.
Cool. Are there any, like, swinging blades involved or anything?
Yes.
We'll have to decide which
Fire
of the many,
yes.
many submissions we decide on. We're going to narrow it down to four. But there might have been some fire breathing in one of the proposals.
Knife throwers?
No knife throwers.
No.
But we got a guy who eats glass.
Oh, all right.
So it should be interesting. Should be interesting.
I've always wanted to do that. Not glass, but like just invest in a lot of sugar glass cups. So if I'm ever at like a date that's bad, just like, yeah.
Well, you are a fan of the circus arts, aren't you, Nick?
That's true. That's true. I'm
oh, that would
them
be
waters.
The greatest thing in the world. You just start eating glass.
Yeah. Tell me about your fucking dog.
Oh, what? Dating sounds terrible.
What is your favorite circus art, Nick?
I don't know. There are a lot. You're really trying to pigeonhole this conversation about my personal life there, Brian
Well,
Ball.
You made a revelation this morning that cannot be ignored.
I guess so, yeah.
That is true. What are you up to these days?
I'm taking a class in aerial silks.
It's going to end so badly.
Nuh-uh. I'm going to be ripped as fuck and much more able to hang upside down like Spider-Man whenever I want to.
I think it's going to end like this.
See, what's funny is that you
it's going to end with a very large hospital bill.
There's pads. I'll be fine.
I just have to say that you, sir, are the last person in the world who should be doing this.
Whatever.
And
no,
everyone
I
in the class is
the
endangered.
A couple of things.
Having you there.
Firstly, I'm not the worst person in the class, so fuck y'all. And I'm not even like the oldest dude. I'm super pumped about that. I was worried it was going to be a bunch of hoodlums and children and stuff. Thankfully. Hoodlums. Hoodlums, yeah.
What, like the court sentenced them to have to take aerial soap class? Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you know.
They used to have to go to Vietnam. Now they have to do Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah. It's a way better skill if you're trying to, like, rob people, because then you can just quickly rappel up the stuff.
Just have ribbons hanging outside their homes.
Yeah.
Like Mission Impossible style, just, you can just start robbing diamond vaults.
Yeah, exactly.
Big Roman banners. And you
this is what I'm doing. I'm just low-key really upping my assassin skill set, and this is just the first of many stupid classes I'm going to be taking.
The first security guard he ever gets in front of, if he becomes an assassin, is going to kill him.
He's gonna let me through because of how what's the word?
It'll be one guy. Like, it'll be the one guy who decided to walk down the hallway to get an extra donut. It wasn't in your plan, and he just sees you out of the corner of his eye, just fires his gun because he's inexperienced, and you're gonna go, "I'm sorry, I didn't do anything yet, so it's technically not a crime."
Yeah.
Either way, you're the worst. But I'm proud of you for doing something different and getting out of the box. But
Nick has no box.
Yeah, if there's one day you tune into the show, folks, and Nick isn't here anymore, it's going to be because of a tragic aerial silk accident.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
He hung himself.
Well, this all...
That got dark.
We haven't even gone down the erotic asphyxiation route here.
Yeah, I'm way more David Carradine.
Ugh. Boy.
Alrighty.
So we're going to
masturbate and you choke yourself at the same time.
We know.
You want me to tell you more about it, guys?
Well, let's do our sponsors real quick, Brian, before we bring in Ross.
Before we continue talking about autoerotic asphyxiation, let's talk about the fine folks over at Support.
Robert Powell, when you were on the set of Atlanta, did anybody ever talk about autoerotic asphyxiation? I'm just curious. This interview is writing itself this morning. Start texting. All right, Sapori, baby. Cafe, catering, in the Powers Building atrium, or your very own special event. Sapori, it's Italian for flavor.
Flavore.
That's true.
Stop it! Stop it, Brian!
Hey, you missed your cue, by the way.
Because he filled me with rage.
Well, hold on. Here we go. You ready? Sapori, cafe, catering.
Half-assed.
You're despicable, sir. You're despicable.
I was doing that breathy thing like in that Depeche Mode song.
I hope you find out you don't like autoerotic asphyxiation before it's too late. when it is too late. Like, I hope that they're just wrapped around you and you're going, I really don't like this.
You know, this isn't for me.
That's what I hope happens now. You ruined my Sapori plug. Sapori Catering, graduation showers, weddings, birthdays, corporate events, backyard barbecues, and more. Follow them on Instagram. Like them on Facebook at Sapori Rochester. Three Heads Brewing.
Three Heads Brewing.
What is that now? What noises are coming out of you today? Could you just settle down?
No.
He's got the spirit of the ribbons.
He's like a rainbow.
I love that song.
Three Heads Brewing. The official beer sponsor of the Comedy at the Carlson cast. And if you're coming to a show here this weekend, grab yourself a Three Heads. You won't regret it.
Also the official sponsor of happiness.
There's also another official booze sponsor. It's amazing. Like, our sponsors know the show to advertise on.
Yeah.
They really do. Handcrafted in upstate New York, Applewood Smoke Whiskey or Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey. IronSmokeWhiskey.com. Check out the new tasting room out in Fairport, and you will not be...
There we go.
Yeah, there I am. I will not be. You will not be disappointed.
There we go. Because
I will. There.
Did you just have you a fucking stroke?
My computer just
you
went
will not,
crazy.
I will be. You will not be. I.
He's a glitch in the matrix.
You're doing great, man.
I'm gonna just choke you out with a ribbon.
I might be really, really into that.
Yeah. Speaking of people who are really, really into that, hey, everybody, welcome Ross Johnson!
Yay!
Hello, everybody! The Carlson cast advises you to enjoy autoerotic masturbation responsibly.
Good to have a spotter, I would assume.
You want a friend?
You can go to the Ross shot now. I didn't mess it up anymore.
There you go.
Hey, everybody. Hi, Ross. So, for
always
those of you...
jerk off with a buddy.
For those of you who don't know Ross...
Hi.
He likes to jerk off with friends.
Yes, he has a lot of friends. He's a friendly guy. Ross is going to come in and tell us every week the latest in what's going on in the world of stand-up. So, Ross, tell us a little something about a little something.
Well, let me tell you about... Let me give you the news, Vinny. Let me give it up. So, just within the last couple weeks, the National Comedy Center in Jamestown, New York, opened up. This is a $50 million facility that the Congress has actually given official designation as the Federal National Comedy Center. So they have a... displays, they have artifacts, the opening, they had Kelly Carlin, they had George Shapiro, Louis Black, W. Kamau Ball, Lucy
Mike
Arnaz.
Pence, I assume.
Mike Pence, yes.
Mike Pence, absolutely.
He loves humor.
Yeah. And they have a hologram of Jim Gaffigan, so...
I thought Jim Gaffigan actually was a hologram. He's so pale.
Carlin, they had a hologram of fucking Jim Gaffigan. Like real Jim
Gaffigan.
It's
easier to get him to sign off on the rights.
Out with hologram Jim Gaffigan.
Well, that's it. I thought you had to be dead to get a hologram, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that how it works? Like, they get your soul and then it's a hologram.
I don't think
Brian Ball died 3 years ago. That's.
Yeah, I'm just. You can walk right through me.
What a waste of technology.
Yep. Birthday is coming up. Our good friend, soon to be, Brent Morin. He's coming to the Carlson in October. So his birthday is on August 31st. We're pretty excited about that. So get your presents now. You got a little time.
We're extra saying extra happy birthday to you, Brent, because apparently I believe I am featuring that weekend. So happy birthday, Brent.
We give extra
Even though
happy
I never
birthdays
met you.
To people that Vinny supports.
Sure.
Sure.
I think that's probably a good rule.
The New York Comedy Festival, which is going to be from November 5th to November 11th. This is the giant 200 comedians, 100 shows, multiple venues festival in New York City. They announced their headliners, including Marc Maron, Bill Burr, Yvonne Orji, Tracy Morgan, a ton of other people. It's
two
like
Marons.
Two Marc Marons.
Two Marc
Maron.
One's
Marc
a hologram
and a
deck.
Hologram Marc Maron. So you can go to either one. The hologram's cheaper, so you can save a little money that way. So if you've got a car... You know, you could possibly go to that. Here's what's coming up in the world of comedy. Hannah Gadsby. Did you guys see her Netflix special?
Did I see her Netflix special?
Did you see her Netflix
I watched
special?
Half of it.
Did you watch the where it starts to turn? Did you get that far?
No.
Okay.
So this is why it's embarrassing for me. I really would
dated
like to sit
Hannah
down and
Gadsby.
Watch it.
Okay.
No, I did not date Hannah Gadsby. What's her last name? Gadsby?
Gadsby.
Yeah. No, I did not. But I started watching this, and I got completely sidetracked, and I never went back to finish it. And everybody started going, it's so dark, it's so dark. I didn't get that far.
So
I just got,
like
the
what?
Pleasant banter at the beginning. And I don't know what everybody's so upset about, so I have to go in and go finish it.
It's whimsical and delightful, this lady. I don't know. What could possibly go wrong? Yeah, so she's got a memoir coming out based on that special, so I guess if you want to, you could read half the book.
Or watch the special,
just
your
get
choice.
The cute parts. 10 Steps to Nanette is coming out next year, so she's got a book based on that giant Netflix special, so we're very excited and or depressed about that. Gilda Radner, everybody loves Gilda Radner.
Of course.
Of course.
How could we not?
She's dead, you know, but you can still love her, that's fine.
We can still remember her in our hearts.
There's a documentary called Love Gilda, which premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival. It's full of archival images and some video and footage and pictures that have never been seen before and old interviews and stuff like that. It's supposed to be very good. That is going to be coming to a wide release in the fall, so you can certainly check your local theaters, etc. Check your local listings and go on the Fandango or whatever it is you do.
Excellent.
Netflix giveth and Netflix taketh away. Michelle Wolf and Joel Hale.
Joel McHale.
Cancelled.
Bye-bye.
Cancelled. Didn't make it very long, but their show's been
what
canceled.
Is Paul Feig going to do now?
It's very sad. It's very sad for everyone.
I will, but I don't want to give away the spoiler for what he's about to
say. Oh, the spoiler. Okay, yes, of course. So the.
But who's coming?
But the good news is, if you like Norm MacDonald, there he is.
Yeah.
Hello, Norm MacDonald. Hey, everybody.
I didn't know he's going to show.
He's got a show coming up. It's coming up September 14th. He's got the list of the lineup of guests that he has that I think are already pre-filmed, like the premiere, however many weeks of guests, are pretty wild. He's got Lorne Michaels, Chevy Chase, Michael Keaton, Jane Fonda, Judge Judy. Also, I mean, it's...
I want to watch the Judge Judy Norm MacDonald interview. So any of these people ever bother you? They ever get under your skin at all?
Deal with it! I don't know. What does she say? She says, like, mean stuff, right?
Oh, she gets so angry. All she does is scream that lady.
Yeah. So that's the news. That's everything that's going on in the world of stand-up comedy and sit-down comedy also.
Great job, Ross.
Thank you.
Great job for your very first attempt at doing this segment.
That's how I wrap things up.
Let's clap for Ross, everybody.
Thank you.
We're going to be back in just a few minutes with our guest today, Robert Powell III. Stay tuned.
Hey, everyone. It's Vinny. I want to remind you to check out our schedule. Big shows coming up at Comedy at the Carlson. September 6th through 8th, we've got Gary Goldman. Gilbert Godfrey, two nights, September 14th and 15th. Jeremy Piven doing stand-up September 20th and 21st. We also have Sky Sands, one night only, September 22nd. Jamie Lee from Crashing, September 27th through the 29th. Brent Morin, October 4th through 6th. Todd Youngman presents Pancakes and Kegels, one night only, October 10th. David Koechner, October 11th through the 13th. Whammy! Pauly Shore, one night only, Sunday, October 14th. That was bad, I apologize. Brad Williams, November 8th through the 10th. Wow, I'm sorry for that Pauly Shore thing. Ugh. I'm going to go take a shower, but if you want to get tickets, visit carlsoncomedy.com or call 585-4-COMEDY. Hey, everybody, don't forget to watch us live Friday mornings on Facebook Live and YouTube. And if you wouldn't mind, give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. If you just want to listen to the show, you can check us out on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. And you might want to check out this little neat app that just came out. You might have heard of it. It's called Laughable. It's pretty incredible. If you haven't seen it yet, it's a great way to connect you and your favorite comedians. And if you forgot everything I just said, visit us at carlsoncast.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the studio. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Comedy of the Carlson Cast. Joining us in studio, Robert Powell III, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah!
Oh, snap! Man, I'm on camera.
And his backpack. Looking good. That's a nice... all right.
That's a serious backpack.
Look at there.
That is a serious backpack.
It is.
What are you, like a Chronicles of Narnia fan? What's going on here?
No, it matches my dog.
Your dog looks like a lion?
Yeah, my dog. I have a Tibetan Mastiff, and he looks exactly like that.
No fooling.
Yeah, no. I got to show him to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He's huge. He's the largest dog breed in the world. And
you're not a very tall guy, man. Do you, like, ride around on that dog?
I do. I used to have a video of me riding him. No joking.
What's he weigh?
He's about 160-something now, last time we weighed him.
Good God.
Yeah. It was an impulse buy. We shouldn't have did it.
No fooling.
Yeah, we had no idea he'd be this big.
Like, what are they, like, bred for? What is the job of the Mastiff?
They kill bears.
Uh-huh.
No, seriously. Yeah. Bear killing dogs. There's plenty of videos on YouTube of them doing so.
Of killing bears?
Killing
bears,
yeah.
Wow.
They protect the people from bears.
I subscribe to the wrong channels on YouTube.
This is him at 7 months old.
Hold it right up to the camera. Show him.
And I'm prefacing that because we don't even live here no more. That's how I know. Okay. See, that is my wife laying on him.
Oh my God. Holy crap.
Wow.
At the age of 7 months.
Wow.
That's a grown woman laying on my 7-month-old dog.
That looks like a bearskin rug.
She is on, we're on our way to the pool, which is why she's on that. Yeah.
Where do you,
suit.
That is amazing. But
where do you even find that dog? Like,
well, we ordered him from Russia.
Of course.
This is my daughter standing next to him. He is a puppy at that point.
Oh,
he is still a puppy.
Like, what's his name?
Bolshoi. We left the Russian name on him, like the ballet Bolshoi.
Bolshoi.
Bolshoi,
yeah.
Yeah, man, I'm the worst. I can't talk.
Wow, that's a lot of dog.
He is.
I didn't realize we were going down the dog route, but like,
I'm sorry.
No, I'm fascinated by it because I love dogs in
really?
General. Yeah, I love dogs. Oh, I have three.
I wasn't a dog guy at all.
Yeah.
But then you just decided if I'm going to get one, I'm going to get
in.
The biggest there is.
My girl convinced me. He's also the most expensive dog breed on the planet as well.
Well, you got to buy him by the pound.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He one just sold for $1.5 million. Oh, all this is on the internet. By
how way. Many bear kills did that one have? Is that like how they price them?
Yeah. He killed the Leonardo DiCaprio bear, so his price went
okay.
up.
Okay. Yeah. That's...
Mine didn't cost anywhere near that amount, bear. But it's still absurd how much they cost.
God, like, for a couch dog. Like, that thing's the size of your couch.
He is big. He wouldn't fit on this couch at all.
160-pound dog.
He fits on the three-cushion couch well. That's his couch. But a couch with a normal-sized three-cushion couch, he takes up all three cushions.
Jeez.
See, now I'm like completely... I had all these questions I wanted to start off asking you.
No, let's go back to those.
All right. Well,
I got all day.
I was, you know, reading up on you and trying to do a lot of research, and I guess I noticed something that there's something you and I have in common. There's two things, actually.
What's that?
Did you start doing stand-up comedy on a dare?
I did. Absolutely.
Tell me about that, because I did, too. That's how I started.
A guy named Britt Haynes, who I'm still friends with to this day. We were funny in college, and we were on the orientation staff in college, and we'd make people laugh. And they had open mic in Shreveport, which is about an hour and a half away. And he dared me to go with him one time, and they dared me to get up. And they put all the names in a hat. I'm not sure how they did open mic here, but to see what number you would go. And on my very first time, I pulled number one, and it sucked. And it was a horrible set. But then I went back two Tuesdays later and got a standing ovation, and that was a wrap.
Off to the races.
Yeah,
So
I was bit by then.
Hold on. So you have a very different story than a lot of people do, because a lot of people that come in here that work at the same professional level that you do, they say their first time they went up and had a little something going for themselves. I like how you are kind of honest about it. I went up and bombed.
That shit was garbage.
But what they...
That shit was garbage.
So what I'm used to hearing from people is, I went up and I got that laugh and I knew I had to keep going and I had to get more of those.
And had I stopped after that day, they would have understood. They were like, yeah, that's probably best you stay in politics. It was really bad. It was not good at all.
So what drove you to go back?
Bombing.
Doing
bad. The fear of leaving it like that. I don't think I slept. And it wasn't 2 weeks. They did it every other Tuesday.
Yeah.
So I missed a Tuesday, right? And then that very next one, I went and got a standing ovation. And I was determined to keep it there.
So like those 2 weeks... Was there like a Rocky training montage happening kind of a thing where
you
were like just writing?
That's exactly what happened. I was determined. I couldn't pay attention at work. I couldn't pay attention. I was determined to go back in there and do well.
What year are we talking here?
Ooh, we have to be talking 2004, 5.
Okay.
Yep. But I couldn't do comedy full time at this point because, again, I still had a job and there's not a lot of places in Louisiana to do comedy. There's never been an improv in Louisiana, I don't think. Not even in New Orleans. Are there like real comedy clubs?
I thought there was a couple clubs in New Orleans. Nothing?
They're comedy. They're a couple places that have comedy at their spot, but not any real
comedy. Not like a dedicated club, just like a comedy rooms.
I
kind of like that about the South, though. I don't ever want them to go to just all comedy clubs.
No, they don't have a lot of them at all.
It'd be a part of the business that died if the comedy rooms disappear.
In New Orleans, because of the kind of city that it is, people don't want to sit still.
Yeah.
They like that you hopping from place to place to place down there. They want you to be out and about and outside. They let you have your alcohol outside, so that's another reason why you don't got to go sit in a place and drink. So it's one of those things.
Yeah.
But it still worked out.
Interesting. So, like, you go and you do these open mics. Mm-hmm. You're in college. You do it the second time. At that point, did you realize this is for me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I kind of backpedaled and started doing a bunch of hosting, and I would call myself a host. And then if I got a laugh, that'd be me cheating, right? You know, by that, if you call yourself a host and you get some laughs, then you're just a good host. If you call yourself a comic,
I get it.
Then now you have to get laughs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're expecting you to get laughs, so you don't get as much credit. So I will be known for hosting events around town, you know, but he'll be a funny host. And then I started writing jokes and putting them into these things. And then eventually I just said, you know what, I'm a comic now.
Now that is very interesting to me.
Yeah, very small.
I was cheating.
Yeah, but still.
You were. You actually were.
It's better than the people who call themselves comics when they're not.
True.
It's much better than that.
Yeah.
Mark, the guy who, you know Mark, for those of you watching, Mark is the booker and operations director here at Comedy the Carlson. He always says stand-up comedy is the only business where somebody could wake up the next day and declare, I'm a comedian.
Right.
And people take it seriously.
Right,
you can't
absolutely
do it with any other real career.
No.
I'm a plumber today.
Right.
No, you're just going to go fuck up somebody's house.
I don't even think you can do it with singing, because at least they want you to at least have some type. You have to be able to open your mouth and prove that you can do that.
You know what?
With comedy, you don't have to do that.
I take it back. The whole entertainment industry, you can do that with. Actor, you can do that with.
Oh, well.
I'm an actor.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
I haven't done anything.
That's why a lot of people kind of just like to say that they're artists, because if you don't have a job, it's just something you can fall back on. You can meet a meet a bitch at the club, like, yeah, but I'm in between art right now.
That's how the term landscaper got invented too.
Right,
just a guy who was broke and mowed yards.
True, yeah.
I'm a landscaper
redesigning some bushes.
Yeah,
scaper.
You're a scaper. Is the
you gotta say it like that. You gotta put a hand motion in it if you really want to play it up.
Scaper.
Yeah. That's right.
That's funny.
That landscaped.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I think this is really interesting because you did cheat. You absolutely did cheat. That is 100% right. But I'm not going to fault you on that because I actually think it shows like a little bit of respect and reverence towards the business.
It did, absolutely. I didn't do it until I was ready. I think a lot of them do that, though. It's a lot of hosts out there that are really just hosts and call themselves stand-up comics.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of them.
Name names, please. I'm just kidding.
I don't mind doing it. I can't be blackballed at this point.
Go get them.
God, I don't know the people's name. I don't know the guy's name.
And that's what you get for cheating.
That's what it is, right? It's some.
I'm thinking of one. I like him a lot.
Wayne Brady
is a host.
Is a host. Yeah.
Would you call him
funny
an?
Things, right? Yep. The funny things, but we can't call it stand-up comedy. Let's be real, right?
He's like an improv guy. I would say. I would put him in the improv category.
MC type thing, but he gets away with being called a stand-up comic sometimes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But he's a host that's funny. I started as a host that was funny.
And then worked into stand-up. So how long did it take you before you started headlining rooms, man? I mean, it's probably taking you...
Yeah, a long time. So I walked away from my job in the governor's office in 2012.
Yeah, let's backtrack, by the way, because I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm terrible at hosting today. I drink way too much coffee.
No, I just skipped. That's all that was.
Well, during this time, you got your degree in political science, and you were working for the governor?
Yeah, I went to work for the mayor's office.
Mayor's office.
I went to work for the mayor's office first, and I worked there for 5 years. Got all the way up to deputy chief of staff. Left the mayor's office, went to the governor's office for 2 years, and left there to do this full time. So I got lucky, though, and I'm not that talented at all. I got lucky in the fact that the mayor's son was my best friend. But at this time, the mayor wasn't the mayor yet. He was city councilman. And I'm just best friends with his son. We would help him stuff envelopes, knock on doors, campaign, stuff like that. And then our mayor died in his sleep in the middle of the night. And again, all this is on Wikipedia or Google somewhere. He dies, and now my guy wakes up, the mayor.
No fooling, because he was like, chain of succession?
He was the president of city council.
He was the next in line.
Yeah, so he was next in line. He woke up, and he's been mayor ever since, for 19 years now.
Wow.
Yep, so my best friend, and because I never met my real dad in real life, my best friend's dad was practically my dad.
Yeah.
So the mayor all but raised me. So it was kind of like a nepotism sort of thing, but not, right? So, of course, when I graduated from college in political science, the guy that raised me is going to give me a job. So I left there and went to the governor's office. And then I didn't like that shit at all. They said, you know what? Fuck it. I'll just do stand-up comedy full time. And then I got homeless.
Yeah,
it got quiet for a second here because there's a lot to digest there.
Sorry.
Rather than work for the governor of a state, it'd be better to be a homeless comedian.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I can see it.
I kind of lost my mind there for a little bit.
Yeah.
I had a friend that died in a motorcycle accident. His name was Derek Wilson. That's this guy right here.
Yeah.
In 2012 as well. And dog, tomorrow is the anniversary of it.
R.I.P. Derek. 25th.
So that, made me lose my mind, right, to where I needed some counseling. I walked away from everything. I was like, I don't have as much time as I thought. Because he and I both thought we had, 80 years. We'd do these plan things out. And then I decided I was just going to go and live for myself. And that's what I did. I just left. I walked away from everything, stayed in my truck, and decided I'd do stand-up.
Wow. This is
it worked out, though.
Mm-hmm.
See, now I'm completely, completely taken aback because when you make that decision to do stand-up, you're obviously in an emotional time. Like, you're really emotional.
Yeah, I was nuts. I was bad shit crazy.
Right. So, through the insanity, is there a point where you're sitting in your truck going, what did I do?
No.
No?
No, never. I'm listening.
Tell me more.
I was determined to not get back in the rat race. I was scared as shit. I said I would rather live every day for myself like this than to enter back into that rat race of a life.
I understand that you reach a point where I've been self-employed for a really long time. You reach a point where you're just like, I couldn't hold down a real job if I
I'd rather live this way and not have than to live that way and have more stuff. I couldn't do it no more.
Wow.
Is this wrong? Is this bad?
No.
No.
I mean, the state's only going to come in here and fine everybody, but, you know, it's cool.
It's CBD, though.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's legal. That's the good stuff. So you're living in your car.
Living in my truck.
In your truck. I'm sorry. You definitely cannot mix those two up. Yeah, when you're a Southern gentleman, you cannot.
I don't want people to think that I was slumming that bad. I did have a spacious F-150.
That's right. You'd sleep in the bed of it.
I wasn't sleeping in a Kia Sorento.
Thank God you were down south, man. That the bed of the truck was actually your bed.
Absolutely. You could sleep in the bed of the truck.
Yeah. Wow. So,
in December, I could still do that.
Yeah. So when do things start to get better for you at this point? I mean, you're sleeping exactly in a truck.
And that girl that you saw on the dog was homeless with me.
Wow.
Yeah, that same girl. And now
you must have some serious game to convince 3 days to
later
live homeless with you in a truck.
It feels like 3 days later. This bitch,
honey, I'm gonna buy you the biggest dog someday. Stick with me, baby. We're gonna have the biggest
five
dog.
5 years later, we got a fucking $35,000 dog.
That's a car. That's one of those trucks.
Yeah.
Hope you can sleep on that dog if you need to.
Probably could.
Yeah.
Life changes fast. It's crazy.
Wow.
But she was there. The way it changed was, we would spam in the daytime all of these comedy people, right? Mm. And one of the people we spammed was one of the producers of the Shaq All Star Tour, and they wrote us back and say, "Congratulations, we've selected you to be in this competition." Shaq was having a competition for the last spot on this tour. They were going to have it in Orlando. He said, we're inviting 50 comics from all over the United States to compete in this competition, and you're one of them. Congratulations.
Wow.
So then I borrowed $600 to get there from my sister's dad. It cost me $550 in gas. I didn't have nothing to eat there.
Well, that's technically rent, too, you know?
Right.
Yeah. It's gas and rent for the month.
Right. So I drove from Monroe to Orlando, 14 hours to compete in this competition. And I competed in the competition, and I won, and Shaq put me on tour. And things turned around from there. So I remember with my first Shaq gig, me and her moved from my truck to an $11 a night hotel, right? We could finally get a place to move. And then with the second Shaq gig, we got an apartment.
Wow.
Shaq was paying that much. We went from making $0 to about $3,000 a gig in a day.
Wow.
In a competition.
And that right there is what keeps people in the business.
Yeah.
It really is. That's an amazing success story, man.
Yeah, how long was the truck phase?
I could probably tell you exactly month to month if I tried hard enough.
Like a year or two?
Oh, no, we didn't do that long. Maybe 9 months, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
9 months.
Yeah. 7 or 9 months, something like that, yeah.
And every day, just like, what are you doing? Going to like the library and like emailing people and stuff?
No, we just do it from our phones.
Okay.
Yeah, we just straight up do it from our phones. They
have modern technology.
Yeah,
sure, I'm just saying, like, I mean, when you decide that you're living in a truck, right. I'm not expecting you to have an iPhone.
Right, and we
I'm just saying.
We have Cricket service. See that Cricket on there?
Yeah.
And we never went to a real one. We kept our Cricket service. So my cell phone service, still to this day, is with Cricket.
That's like your version of how Jay Leno doesn't spend his Tonight Show money. You stay with Cricket to keep yourself right. grounded.
Well, the phone. Yeah, the phone works the same.
Cricket keeps me grounded.
That's really funny. Yeah. So, man, that's such an awesome success story. So you're doing stuff with Shaq. What's Shaq like?
He's fantastic.
Is he?
Yeah, he's good people in real life.
He seems like just a down-to-earth guy.
He is. He had to grow up friendly and be extra friendly because of how big he is.
Yeah.
And to be disarming to people because he's a very large black man.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he is.
The pictures don't even do it justice. Like, every time I see him, I can't believe that we both came from a woman. You know?
He looks like your dog gave birth to him.
He's born of something else.
Well, you probably come up to, like, his nipples.
Yeah, it's... Because I don't weigh that much, he's able to just do all kinds of things with me that men shouldn't do to other men. You know? Like, just pick me up and toss me like I'm his child or something like that.
Does he, though?
Yes, he does.
Oh,
and I allow this to happen because I can't beat him up. And two, he changed my life. So
yeah.
All right, rock me like you're a baby, like, Shaq, if it'll make you feel better.
He's like, fair enough.
Shaq, is he a funny guy? Is he like a funny guy?
Hilarious. He's hilarious, and he wants to be a comic, which is why he likes to put stand-up comics on. The Shaq All-Star Tour, believe it or not, is the way a lot of comics blew up. I mean, Kevin Hart did that tour before he was Kevin Hart. D-Ray Davis, Michael Blackston, Corey Holcomb, Gary Owens. It elevated a lot of people.
Yeah, that's quite a list.
So the fact that they were even having a competition was surprising to all of us, and I was just happy to be in it. I didn't go there even expecting to win.
Right.
You got a 1 in 50 chance. I mean, what's that? It's 2%?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and then all of the other comics had already been on television. They weren't homeless. They probably stayed at a hotel when they went. They probably felt good.
But they didn't. You know what
the worst
truck.
Part about losing what? To the guy in the truck is? You have a long drive home after you lose to that guy, and he's just home already. Right, it's just there. Terrible.
So I had to go
terrible feeling.
But it worked out.
So how'd you get into acting?
I'm not into acting.
Not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit. I tell you what happened. I'm a stand-up comic, right?
Sure.
And I was trying to tell the people at Atlanta that.
I feel like you're cheating again. I'm not an actor. I'm a stand-up comic. And if you get really good at acting in like a couple years, you'll be like, hey, look, I'm an actor.
Well, this is what happened. I never auditioned. Never sent in a tape. I've never had headshots. None of that. Donald Glover just so happened to see my HBO set and sat down and wrote this part for me. And then he called my people and said, I got a part for Robert. And they was like, yeah, he really doesn't act or doing his, like things like that. And then he was like, I'm offering him a job. I'm not asking him to audition. And I was there 3 days later.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I went there initially thinking that I was an extra. Because I was like, there's no way that Donald Glover wrote a whole part for somebody that's never acted before. He's not that dumb, right? There's no way he wrote an entire episode about me knowing that I've never acted.
Turns out he did.
Turns out he did. There's no way that they're going to turn over this Golden Globe winning, Emmy winning show to this amateur who's never even had headshots and never acted on anything. There's no way they do that. So I must be an extra. So I don't even read the script.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Swear to God.
Oh, no.
I swear to God.
No. You showed up not reading the script?
Thinking I was an extra. The production guy, very nice guy, picked me up from the airport, had my name, and we dropping over there. He said, hey, you're going to love it. They got you a new trailer and everything. They got you the double wide, so you're going to be very comfortable in between. I was like, what the fuck does an extra need with a trailer? That's what I thought. It's like, why I need a trailer?
Wow.
It's five people already in the show, right? It's five people that already starting the show.
Yeah.
So, and they told me that it was a barbershop scene. So I'm guessing I'm just going to deliver a couple lines in the barbershop. How hard is that? And then I'll go home. I didn't know that I'd be in every single scene of every single shot. I'm not on camera in my episode for only 15 seconds, and we counted.
Wow.
Holy crap.
Yeah,
I'm not on screen for 15 seconds of my episode, and we counted. And during those 15 seconds, they're talking about me.
Yes.
But every part of that show I'm in, and I did not know that until 2 hours before we started filming. Oh my
God. Okay, so you needed the trailer so you could shit yourself privately.
Oh, I had a panic attack.
Yeah, I bet.
I had a whole panic attack.
I bet.
I fired my manager. I fired my agent. I fired CAA. Uh-huh. And Prince Potter Young, the largest management company in the world and the largest agency in the world.
Great. Can I have your old spot?
Sure. Call them.
Thank you. You're a great guy,
Robert. I feel like they should have told me, Robert, this whole thing's about you. You might want to sit down and read that shit. You know, I felt like they, because I could have fucked that up. That's very big, you know. What if Donald Glover would have found out I hadn't read the script, that I don't know the lines, and say, you know what, we'll just use who he was going to use at first.
Well, surprise, Robert. Come on in, Donald. Come on in.
No, I wish he was here.
Oh, my God. I feel like that, I mean, if I wrote it, I would probably be upset, but you put out an amazing performance.
Yeah,
that was an amazing episode.
Yeah.
And it's very memorable.
Yeah. And we get the Emmys September 13th.
No shit.
Yeah.
All right, man. All right, man. I'm with you on that.
Thank you.
So you could check out Robert Powell III. Do you prefer saying the third? Is it? Should I say the third or should I just say Robert Powell? What do you prefer?
Either I like Robert Powell the third.
I love it. Me too. I actually was going to compliment you on it.
It does. Don't it sounds has this whole. Yeah,
sounds like
Robert,
a guy who should.
Robert Sullivan Powell the third of Munro Loser.
Sounds like a guy who should have a giant rare dog.
Right? Yeah, I do have one. Yeah.
And a lion on his backpack.
Four shows this weekend with Robert Powell. The third, you come see him tonight or tomorrow night. Get your tickets, 585-4 Comedy, or visit carlsoncomedy.com for those. So,
is this over?
No.
Oh, no,
I just like to get the plugs in the middle.
Okay, good. I was going to say,
I haven't even opened up my text line yet. I got to see what's going on out there.
Oh, that was fast.
Well, no, we're not done yet. I just want to find out, like, what are you doing next? Like, what do they have you up doing?
You mean in life in general?
And acting. Like, well, I mean, obviously, acting, after you do a show like that.
I know. A lot of stuff still comes after that, right? And people still don't believe that I'm not an actor. And they and in Hollywood, they really don't give a fuck about your feelings and stuff. Ah, yeah, you are. Yeah, you're going to do it for us. So I'm still trying to convince them that I'm a stand-up comic. I don't know if I'm shitty at stand-up or or what, but they seem to not listen.
That's really interesting. Have you taken any acting gigs
Never.
Since then?
No, you ever... I thought you meant acting classes.
No,
I'm still
gigs.
Turning down acting gigs. I would have turned down Atlanta had I not had respect for Donald Glover, and they said he's not asking you to audition, he's asking you just come and do it, right?
Right.
But so they still will send out, like, really put yourself on tape for this. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that.
So you're not necessarily getting, like, full-out offers. You're getting, hey, come in and audition kind of things?
Yeah.
Screw that.
Yeah, I'm never doing that.
Didn't you see my Atlanta? That's what I'd say.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say if I were you.
That's your audition.
Yeah, that's
your audition. Go watch that episode.
I feel like if you can
fast-forward through those 15 seconds. Your audition.
Right. I feel like if you could see that and not know that you want that guy, then you don't need to be making television no way. You should be able to see somebody, the work already, and tell whether you can use that. I got enough stuff out there. I got enough stand-up. I got specials on Netflix, two on HBO, Showtime, CISO, Kevin Hart's LOL, all type, and YouTube. If you can't look at all that material and then look at the Atlanta episode and tell you want to work with this guy, then
and realize that Robert should have a sitcom, then I don't know what's wrong with you, Hollywood.
Yeah, what am I going to do?
Run by monkeys.
Right. Yeah, that's how I feel.
So
I'm not going to out-act anybody was my the way I saw it.
Sure.
So I feel like if you want to work with Robert, you already know what you're getting. If you want a thespian, you should go and hire somebody from Juilliard or somebody that went to Yale Drama or like everybody on the scene on Atlanta, by the way. All classically trained thespians. Even the guy that plays the rapper, Brian Tyree, has a master's in Yale Drama. Like, everybody's professional except me. So, and here I come, and I don't even know the verbiage.
I saw an interview with that guy, and some of this, I can't remember who was interviewing him, asking him some kind of dumb question about what he was doing at whatever age, and he goes, I was at Yale. Like the guy asking him thought it was going to be some hood story or something.
Right,
and he just goes, I was at Yale.
Right. See, because they expect that, but everybody's classically trained. I didn't understand the verbiage, and at one point I even had to tell Donald, I said, can you just show me the face you want me to make, and then I'll make that face.
So here's my question. You show up there, you said there's 2 hours till they start filming. You go in the trailer, you have the script, and now you're looking at it going, holy shit, you have an anxiety attack.
Right, took care of some now, HR matters, and then read the script.
Yeah. Now it's time to, like, crack the eggs and take care of business. How did you even approach that? Like, how did you wrap your brain about it? How did you, like, because that in itself is an amazing feat, because I watched this. You were very good in it.
Yeah, I was text messaging Donald about this the other day because he didn't know until he read it in the IndieWire article. He knew none of it. I never told him any of this. And he said, that's why you were hiding notes around the set. He noticed me hiding notes, but didn't think nothing of it, right?
He's either nervous about remembering his lines or he's a serial killer. Right, it's one of the two.
So I had notes all over the place. I was cramming, and I took it scene for scene. I literally took it scene by scene, and I just tried to cram.
What else can you do when you have it?
That's all you can do. And I just tried to trick them. I said, I cannot let these people know that I'm up here and I don't know what I'm doing. I'm the only person. And you could tell, too. It's like being in